first reading is from Genesis chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing there. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet and bow low to them. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of the finest wheat and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where's your wife Sarah?" they asked him. "There in the tent," he said. Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Sarah and Abraham were very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, will now I have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I have a child now that I am old?' Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans written by Paul. Chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Andy said, I'm going to kind of tell you the rest of the story. February 1st, 2005, I retired after serving 11 years. That must be a magic number in my life. I don't know. As associate pastor and then as interim head of staff of the congregation at North Presbyterian Church in suburban St. Paul, Minnesota. That congregation of 500 members had become home for Lynn and me. We had many good friends there. They were our family. But as any interim knows, you can't stay where you served as an interim, even if you had an earlier role with that congregation. So we put our heads together and came up with a plan. First of all, we needed to move out of the Twin Cities to give that new pastor space. And second, we needed to move south. Now, when our friends heard us say south, they thought, Texas, Florida, oh, you have kids in Alabama. How about Alabama? Or maybe Arizona? When we were asked, we said, no, Nebraska. Nebraska, that's not south. And my response was, if you've ever experienced a Minnesota winter, yes, Nebraska is south. Our grandchildren, Samantha and Jefferson, then elementary school children and now college graduates, had informed us that when we moved to Lincoln, we had no choice about our place of worship. "You will come with us to Westminster, Grandpa and Grandma." Their parents, Mark and Vicki, agreed. Of course. Our first welcome to Westminster. And so it was on a cold winter day when, by chance, they were all out of town, we walked into worship at Westminster. I will confess, we told no one who we were or what we were, retired pastors. We were ushered down near the front. By the way, ushers, good job. Right about there, right in front of Charlie, And a couple sitting in front of us turned around and they said, "Welcome." They recognized us right away as visitors, strangers. And Donnie and Eliza Sams made us feel very much at home that day. So much so that when they invited us to attend Westminster Club with them, I guess they recognized our gray hair. We said, "Yes, we'd love to go." There's that Westminster welcome again. By April, I was really into this retirement gig. Only God had other plans, and God's agent, Andrew McDonald, just helped along. He said, "I want you to be my parish associate." I think, he tells a different story, but I think I kind of laughed at first. But the more I thought about it, the more it fit. Anyone who knows me, and my husband will start nodding his head about now, I like to talk and I like to visit. And to be able to carry the ministry of this church to the homebound, the hospitalized, caring members of this congregation seemed perfect to me. And I laughed again, only this time I was laughing at the power of God to change my perfect retirement plans. Retired? Obviously not. That's my story, but what about Sarah? Why did Sarah laugh? I laughed at the unbelievable nature of the power of God to call me to ministry in retirement, in a new city, in a Presbyterian church where we all know that's not the way you become a Presbyterian pastor. You have to go through a call process that takes a long time. I laughed because of that, but Sarah laughed at the absolutely unbelievable possibility she would ever have a child. Have you ever laughed at the sheer impossibility of something happening? How many of us over 75 or 80 doubted the possibility of a man on the moon? Those of you, let's see, some of you way back there in that corner are old enough to remember Buck Rogers. Buck Rogers comic books and those stories of space that seem so unreal. We enjoyed those cartoons and the comic books about the explorers of space travel, but really, in our lifetime, a space station, people on the moon, unbelievable. We laughed. Or for those of you who are younger, what about this? If someone told you, or if I told you that you were going to win the lottery next Wednesday, you'd laugh in my face, wouldn't you? I'd laugh, that's for sure. Because we don't expect the unbelievable, the unexpected, the abnormal. They just don't happen to you and me. We laugh at the impossibility. And that brings us to this intriguing encounter of Abraham and Sarah. We're drawn into it by the appearance of the three visitors. You can visualize it. Abraham's outside trying to get a bit of a breeze on a hot summer day. Sarah, we learn, is inside, probably sewing or doing some other wifely chore that was typical of a woman in her time. Abraham looks up to see three men coming toward his tent. We are given a clue about the unusual nature of their appearance when Abraham hurries up to them and begins to make them welcome and treats these unexpected visitors very special. Now, we know that Middle Eastern culture is very hospitable to strangers. But even there's something unusual about this situation because he seems to know that they're different. "Please sit down. Let me get you some water. Are you hungry?" His rushing around to accommodate his visitors leads me to believe that they are definitely VIPs. And while they're unexpected visitors, they are here for some important reason. It goes without saying their presence is a peculiar event in an ordinary day. They open the conversation with, "Where's your wife?" We could tell them if they'd ask us, "She's in there doing all that cooking." And then comes the dramatic news. "We're just here to tell you that your wife is going to have a baby." Sarah, old is how she describes herself, at least beyond childbearing years. Sarah, the eavesdropper, laughs to think that these strangers could be so audacious as to announce she would have a baby. Reality is, the visitors are simply messengers of the Lord. Abruptly, we are made aware of a tension that has been building throughout this story. God promises, but Abraham and Sarah resist believing that promise, and even go so far as to laugh at it. Talk about being audacious. Laughing at God, disbelieving God, They just can't take it in. This powerful promise of God is too hard for them to comprehend. The point of it all is for us that faith is not a reasonable act. Life, we say, is about reality, about expecting the ordinary, the everyday, definitely not stepping out into the unknown future, expecting someone or something will help us through the difficult times of our life. No, faith is not reasonable. It requires that we stand everything we know on its head and believe the impossible. Believe that men and women can do impossible things, that hope exists in the midst of seeming hopelessness. The story of Abraham and Sarah requires us to see that accepting hopelessness as normal is not the way of faith. Their story is one of embracing the call of God to a new thing, a new way of life. Oh, they haven't gotten there yet, but get there they will. But that's only part of the story. What about that question the Lord asks? Is anything truly impossible for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? That's the question we are asked as well. And it has two possible answers. If the answer is yes, some things are too hard for God, impossible in fact, then we are denying the reality of God. If, however, we embrace the possibility and affirm nothing is impossible for God, then we have accepted the new reality that God is at work in our lives. That one question requires a decision, and God can't make that decision for us any more than God could make it for Abraham and Sarah. Many years ago in my life as a pastor's spouse, I worked with a group of senior high students at a church camp in northern Nebraska. We were studying To Kill a Mockingbird and exploring faith issues in that novel. I recall at the end of our conversation, we came to this conclusion. You see, faith isn't reaching out our hand to God. Instead, it is God reaching out God's hand to us and our making the conscious decision to take God's hand so that we can follow where God leads. God takes the initiative in reaching out to us. While we are yet sinners, the Apostle Paul writes, we make the decision to accept God into our lives. In my years here at Westminster as parish associate, I've called on over 100 of older members of our congregation, and I've witnessed over and over again the possibility of the impossible, the acceptance of God's will for their lives, for the lives of a great cloud of witnesses, their discipleship in impossible situations, in devastating loss of mobility, spouse, sight, freedom of movement in the community, even loss of simple ability to come here to worship on Sunday morning. All of that says to me that nothing is impossible for God. They have helped me understand that not everything is promised us. We are not likely to win the lottery or make it on Broadway. Life won't be perfect with everything coming our way just because we believe. Hard times will come. We will experience sorrow and trauma and difficulty in our lives. What we have mapped out for our future will probably not turn out just exactly as we planned. But in all of this, God is with us. God has promised, and God keeps promises, always. Our God is the one who stays with us through the dark nights and the deep valleys, and brings us to the mountaintop. Abraham and Sarah didn't have a simple, painless route to an heir. And as we know, even after the birth of their son, there were challenges of obedience to God's command. Are not all things possible with God? Oh, yes, but that possibility is not painless. Abraham and Sarah grew in faith and trust in God's inevitable presence in their lives. That is the before of the story of faith. In his letter to the church at Rome, Paul presents the after. Now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us by faith into this experience of God's grace in which we now live. Again, we hear that promise extended by God to all humanity. It is God reaching out to embrace us and sustain us. Paul continues, suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts. This hope of which Paul speaks is hope that implies trust in God. The same trust and hope which Abraham and Sarah exercised against impossible odds. I've experienced 11 years of life with many, many of you as one given the opportunity to walk with you through the later years of your life. You have taught me how to live gracefully in my own later years of my life, for which I'm most grateful. To those of you to whom my presence hasn't been as obvious, I encourage you to continue to reach out for the hand of God in trust. And when you do, know that a great cloud of witnesses surrounds you in faith. My friends, the good news is this. Faith is not a reasonable act. Just as parenting is done in faith that we are making the right decisions on behalf of our families, which sometimes seems impossible, by faith, impossibility is wiped out in the reality of God's encounter with all humanity in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Our faith, our discipleship, brings us into community as people for whom nothing is impossible. We can climb out of the valley of the shadow. We move through the ordinary days, and we soar as we become agents of the kingdom of God here in this place. May we reach out in faith, taking the hand of God as we move forward into the possibly impossible tasks God has put before us. And Sarah laughed. Oh, yes, she laughed with joy at the impossible gift of God. May we do so as well.